I would invite you to take a Bible and turn with me to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. As we read from one of the accounts of the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem on what we celebrate as Palm Sunday. Starting in verse 37, reading through verse 44. Luke 19, 37 through 44, page 913 in the Pew Bible. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, order your disciples to stop." He answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out." As he came near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, "If you, even you, had only recognized on this day the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. Indeed, the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up ramparts around you and surround you and hem you in on every side. They will crush you to the ground, you and your children within you. And they will not leave within you one stone upon another because you did not recognize the time of your visitation from God." Today is really a rather interesting day. Palm Sunday, the day when we remember Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And yet this year, it's also April the 1st, April Fool's Day, a day when we often attempt to fool people. You know, there are lots of theories about how April Fool's Day started, including that from the poor they would elect a king of fools who would then reign as king for the day. Some think of it as a day of hilarity all the way back to Roman times, the festival called Hilaria, where there would be dancing and singing and laughter and people would play jokes on each other, recognizing the time of the vernal equinox, to all kinds of other theories. On the day that Jesus made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, many were laughing and shouting, as we mentioned a few moments ago. They were celebrating what they thought would be a wondrous event. And what eventually happens is a more wondrous event than they had imagined, but they were thinking of it in their own limited earthly terms. They thought the overthrow of Roman occupation was imminent, and the rise of a new Jewish kingdom was about to happen with Jesus arriving here in Jerusalem with crowds around him. For the religious leadership, standing around watching and listening, and perhaps even for some of the Roman soldiers that might have lined the pathway, the parade of Jesus and his followers looked more like a parade of fools. And I know it surprises you, but when I realized that Palm Sunday this year was on April Fool's Day, I thought, just how much of a parade of fools did they think that was? And perhaps even some today would see it, unfortunately, as such. There had been many more earlier who had come through proclaiming to be messiahs in an earthly fashion. And there have been many more parades and perhaps parades of fools in the millennia since. those folks who consider we who proclaim God's good news in Jesus as a continuation of foolishness. So today I want us to reflect upon the foolishness of that message and of that day, that Palm Sunday, and the foolishness of God in calling on us to continue that tradition. A tradition of parading the good news of God's kingdom before a world dominated by chaos and cynics. You know, in fact, we're so familiar with the story, perhaps sometimes we fail to see some of what is there. We overlook some of the elements in this parade of fools. One of those is that the disciples lift Jesus up. If you read Luke, they lift Jesus up and place him on the back of the colt. Jesus doesn't put his foot in a stirrup on a saddle. There wasn't one. He didn't come running up and jump over the colt's back and land on top, as we see in the Westerns. The good guy runs and he jumps and puts his hands on the rump of the horse and lands in the saddle and takes off. The disciples put Jesus on the back of the colt, lifting him up in what they thought was going to be a regal procession. But it wasn't a regal stallion. It wasn't a war horse that would be seen by the Romans or anyone else as a sign of authority. It was the colt of a donkey, which would seem to be foolish in the eyes of the religious leaders, in the eyes of the Romans, if one were coming in to be proclaimed a king. And Jesus was not wearing armor or carrying a sword and a shield or even a spear. How in the world could they take this seriously? And yet the crowds took it very seriously. As we have said before, in Israel, during the reign of King David, the animal of royalty, the animal of the king, was a donkey. Now, not when he went into battle, but when he traveled around and at the coronation of Solomon. Solomon was placed on the back of a donkey so that everyone knew that he was indeed the king. The followers of Jesus lift him up and they begin spreading their cloaks on the road as a sign of respect. In fact, if you go and read in 2 Kings chapter 9, you will find that that is a sign of honor for a new king, to take off your cloaks, place them on the ground for that donkey bearing this king to walk upon. But note also that while allowing himself to be placed on the donkey and announced as a king, it is not Jesus who makes the proclamation. Jesus doesn't wave his arm with a flourish and say, "Come on, into the fray, let us go." Luke emphasizes it is the crowd, the disciples who are following him. And it is their joy and praise of God for Jesus' mighty works that he has done that causes them to announce, "This is the one who is coming, the King." As they cry out, Luke does record a slightly different version, even from what I quoted a while ago from the other synoptic writers. Their understanding, according to Luke, is a little bit different. In the other gospel accounts, the cry of the people is, "Hosanna, blessed is the kingdom of our father David that is coming." And while this is part of the cry, for Luke and Luke's crowd, the focus is not on David's kingdom. They cry out for the king, the one coming in the name of the Lord to give peace and glory. Peace and glory. The fools hope for peace in a time when there is no peace on the earth. The fools proclaiming Jesus as King are calling for God's glory and peace on a day when Roman occupation reminds them that they are an occupied people and peace is a hard thing by which to come. But it's also interesting to note that this is Luke's account. And when you think of their cry of peace and glory in the highest, what comes to mind? If you're familiar at all with the Gospel of Luke, we go back to Luke chapter 2. When the angelic chorus cries out, "On earth peace and goodwill to men." Here, those calling out for peace are not the angels, nor regal authorities, and certainly not the Pharisees and the other religious leaders. The ones crying out for peace are actually the poor, the young, the diseased, those who have no sense of power. Jesus is on the way to receive His kingdom, a kingdom in heaven, a kingdom of the highest order, a kingdom that promises peace even when we find ourselves in difficulty. Jesus is called the coming one, echoing John the Baptist's foolish proclamation about the Messiah, the one who is coming and who will baptize with the Holy Spirit of God. He is the coming one who ushers in the kingdom in which the youngest, the servants, and those who come to Him regardless of social status are the most important ones. For Luke, this entry of Jesus with this band of disciples points to the final fulfillment of God's Christmas promise. A light for revelation to the Gentiles, glory for your people, Israel. A promise made to those who were servant types, shepherds. Those shepherds who then went and cried out and repeated the message of peace and glory to God in the highest. The Christmas story has come full circle. As the parade of fools is entering the holy city, the Pharisees instruct Jesus. They say, "Calm down, this foolish crowd." In that rock opera, the Pharisees sing, "Tell this rabble to be quiet. We anticipate a riot. This common crowd is much too loud. Tell your mob who sing your song that they are fools and they are wrong. They are a curse. They should disperse. This common crowd, the ones for whom Jesus came to give peace, to give the glory of God, the common crowd." Jesus responds, "They will not be silenced, because theirs is a truth that will not be silenced. A truth about God and a truth about who Christ is that even the whole earth will someday recognize. The cries of joy will cease only if the stones begin to cry out." The cry of the stones not only means that the truth cannot be overcome ultimately, but the destruction which will come upon Jerusalem, by the way, which means vision of peace, will show that the peace which they could receive has passed by all of those who refused to recognize God's special presence. Jesus has arrived. Jesus offers them peace. However, the rejection which He faces causes Him to weep for the city. Vincent writes, and I quote, "Had Jerusalem accepted Jesus' offer of peace, would that have prevented the Roman destruction of the city?" The focus here is on the fate of the city and the good news about the kingdom of God. The things that would have made for peace, the vision of his message, in other words, was not "make me a king or be destroyed by Rome." The things that made for his vision of peace were "be transformed by God's rule and become a kingdom with no rich, no poor, no powerful, and no weak." Jerusalem, whose very name included the word peace, is ignorant of the true source of peace. End of quote. How many times do we long for that peace, and yet we too overlook the opportunity to find that vision that God brings to us in the dark of night or in the glorious sunshine? The all-important visitation of God takes place in Jesus' entry into the city. At the head of a parade of fools, it takes place in an ignoble birth, in a stall. It takes place in the hearts and on the lips of those in the long line of common crowds who are fools enough to preach the good news, who are foolish enough to presume to tell the news that the foolishness of God is greater than the wisdom of men, as the Apostle Paul writes, and is found in the humility of a colt, the horror of a waiting cross, and in the lives of those who accept God's call to proclaim, "Peace is prepared by God in heaven to be bestowed on men. May he who dwells on high be glorified," as B.S. Eastern paraphrases. The parade continues. The parade continued into the city. And we sometimes get caught up in the excitement of that parade on Palm Sunday. But as our altar table attests with visual images today, there was more to that week. There was the glory of the palms, the cries of the people. But later in the week, as pilgrims paraded in and out of the city at Passover, the king would be lifted up again. In between time, there was money that exchanged hands. As the pilgrims parade in and out of the city at the end of that week, they see the king, this time crowned with a crown of thorns pressed down into his head, this time lifted up, but not on a colt. 3 nails were used to hang him on a cross. Triumphant cries turned to anguish, disappointment, even fear. The parade continues, calling the world to repentance, calling those who do not seek to justify themselves, as so many in our world do, but calling those who are expectant, calling those open to God's new act in Jesus, through Jesus. The parade continues, and Jesus continues to offer his peace, to offer that peace to those who will join the parade and who will speak out with words and deeds. "Blessed is the King, the one who is coming. Peace and glory in the highest." Have you joined the parade? May we pray. O gracious God, help us to hear the message that you continue to bring in Jesus. Help us to find the peace that you have to offer, that the glory that might come, even through things that we might do, is not of ourselves, but of you. Help us to find the courage to join the parade, however foolish it may sometimes seem, the parade which shares a message of hope, a message of grace, a message of healing. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Our concluding hymn, our hymn of decision, is 685, Footsteps of Jesus. As we sing and as we think about being part of the parade, it's a never-ending story. And our altar is open for any decision that you might make. Hymn number 685, Footsteps of Jesus.